So in this module, we're going to move on to looking at configuring SharePoint Online. Now, I think we're at a slight disadvantage here, aren't we, Martin? Because neither you nor I are actually SharePoint experts, but because we're Exchange experts, aren't we?
Yes. So yeah, it's one of those powerful tools that I've used as a user, but not really as an administrator.
Indeed. And of course, there is a huge amount of SharePoint administration under the hood. We're really going to skate across the surface of this. It is a big subject, you know, just like Exchange Online is. You know, it's a very big topic. And I wouldn't expect a SharePoint administrator to sit up here and be able to talk through all the sort of different configuration options in Exchange Online, for example.
Yes.
Okay.
Quite
right.
A big field.
Indeed. So let's see what we're going to cover on this module. So we're going to look at the process of configuring site collections in Exchange Online and how do we manage those. We're going to demonstrate, aren't we, how to configure external user sharing. I think we've got that we're all squared away. And then we'll talk about planning a collaborations solution, and that includes things like connecting to the external websites, the public-facing website that is also provided with SharePoint Online. So in our first section, what we'd like to do is to look at the process of planning about our site collections. How do we create and then configure those site collections? How can we manage them? And not surprisingly, we have got management options with Windows PowerShell, although you do need to load the SharePoint module to do that. And then how do we configure our public website? And that's a huge topic in itself. You know, we'll just again show you, we'll talk about how you can set that up and some of the domain registration that required. And finish off again with some common errors and some best practices. So a site collection then. So with a site collection, this is a grouping of sites and it's the top level of administration that you can carry out in SharePoint Online. Remember that with SharePoint Online, you don't have the right to administer at the farm level as you would do with SharePoint on-premise. So effectively, that part, the farm level is all managed by Microsoft, so that all the administration drops down one level. So you'd create a site collection, a top-level site, and then you would create multiple sub-sites and then maybe assign permissions and have separate administrators for those individual sub-sites and maybe have a top-level administrator for your top-level site as well. As with most permission models within Microsoft, the permissions cascade down through the hierarchy. Things you need to think about then, you know, what site templates are you going to use? And there's a number of various site templates that Martin will be showing in a moment. How many site collections do you need? How many top-level sites do you need? And then how many sub-sites do you need to have underneath that? And that's going to tie into your organizational need for SharePoint. Again, it isn't so much a technical issue. Technically, you can do generally what the company, your customer or your company will need to do. It's a question of working out how the managerial, the business driver behind all these requirements. Also, you need to think about, are you going to need to grant external user access? And this is one of the big advantages about SharePoint Online is how easy it is to grant users, external users, access to your site and enabling them to collaborate with you. And then say, who's going to be your site collection administrators? Who do you trust? And who has got the right training as well? This is not a site collection administrator is not a job that you can simply drop into somebody's lap. You need to be able to go, they need to have the correct training to undertake that properly. So creating our site collections then. So if we're creating site collections, we're going to set up things like a site name, a domain name, a URL path, and choose a template. Why don't we just have a look at that?
Sure. Okay, so again, Office 365, when we go into the admin center, we have the option to go to SharePoint to do our administration for SharePoint. So one of the first things that comes up is your SharePoint site collections list, and this is where you can go and create a new SharePoint site or a new public website.
Now, so the public website option is grayed out at the moment, isn't it? That's because we've already got one, haven't we?
Yes.
So. Yeah. So you get it's one public site, isn't it? And then you know, it's quite significant. I've actually forgotten the number. In terms of sub-sites and site collections, it's in the hundreds, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can create a lot of them, and you don't want to curb people's enthusiasm with creating new sites where they can collaborate and
Absolutely.
Do documents.
So again, the point being, this is the tool that is it enables businesses and users within an organization to effectively extend what SharePoint can do and make it meet the business requirements.
Yeah. So when you create a new site collection, you have a couple of options. Obviously, you have to give it a name, and then here's the template. So there's various templates that comes inside the box, like a team site where people can go and collaborate around documents and so on. So typically, you would use that for a project, and you want everybody to upload all the deliverables for that project to that site, or a blog where people can go and write stuff on a regular basis. On the enterprise side, we have some other stuff as well that is really useful for enterprise.
So we can create our own e-discovery center, can't we?
Yes.
And that ties into that, you know, that e-discovery manager, the discovery manager title and we can give them permission to access the e-discovery center. Okay, so we've got publishing options as well.
Publishing.
And what if I don't want to create a template at the moment? I just want to set up a blank site, effectively.
Then you go to custom and you say select a template later.
So, okay, good.
And so then you have a blank canvas that you can create the SharePoint site to.
So you could put a blank template that could go out to someone, and then they can choose what type of template that they can install on that.
Yeah, okay. And then you have to choose your time zone for the site, and choose an administrator for that site. So if you want to delegate anybody some access for that, and then set up the quota for that.
So I've got a storage quota, and I can understand storage quota. So I've got, you know, 25 gig available. So what is it? It's 10 gig per client plus 500 meg per user. So as the number of users increases, that will increase.
Yeah.
So, but what about resource quota? What's the resource quota?
So in terms of the resource quota,
that's computing, isn't it? Computing,
yeah.
Power.
So we have 300 users here that 300. Computing power resources of 4,500 that's available, and can extend that as well.
Right, so this is for my sandboxed applications, isn't it?
Yes.
So if I've created a sandboxed application, which is something that you can run within SharePoint Line, you can't run full trust code within SharePoint Line, but you can run sandboxed applications. So those compute resources are actually what's applying to my sandbox applications. So if I've got a very greedy application that's, you know, spinning up, you know, using lots of computing power, then I can exceed my quota. But we can manage that later, can't we?
Yeah.
We can change quota sections.
Yeah.
So so let's have a look at one that you've set up previously, because it can take a little while to actually set up a SharePoint site.
So this is one that I've set up previously, and if we go in here, we click on that, we'll see the properties of how this was set up. And the resource levels and things like that.
Right. So, I mean, we've not got, you know, it's a basic website, so it's not consuming any resources at the moment. Okay.
Yes.
So if you want to just close that, let's have a look at some of the other settings that we can. So let's say we want to increase our resource quota on that website.
We can change that to a different value. So maybe if we're going to, like you say, add a very hungry application in there, we want to assign a lot of resources, 1,000 or something like
that. Okay, and we've got an email option, haven't we, to tell me when I'm when I'm using a certain percentage, what, like say 85% or something like that?
Yep.
Okay, great. And then, so to actually go and see the site itself, the one that you set up, how do we see that?
So
should come up with, it should actually show us our properties, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's busy applying that new change that I've did.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Have you got it opened already?
I've got it open
there
already.
There we go. Yeah. Excellent.
So this is the site. It comes, so I created the default team site here, and we can use this to upload documents. We can have a notebook that is hosted with
We can have a OneNote notebook hosted in a SharePoint site, and everyone who accesses that site can make changes to that notebook.
Can make changes, or they can make updates and things like that.
That's useful, and it's not terribly pretty at the moment. Can I pretty up that site at all?
Yeah, so we can go and edit the site here, and we can add all sorts of design elements like you would do with a SharePoint site.
Oh, right. So we've got a WYSIWYG editor in there as well, haven't we?
So we can remove some of these blocks and so on if it doesn't meet our requirements.
No problem. I think there's some templates that we can apply there and change colors and fonts and all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah.
Right, so what happens if we delete a site then? So it's basically what we've got, if they're just like for users, we've got a recycle bin for sites. So typically if you decide, right, I am going to delete a site, you can delete it through the user interface, you can delete it through PowerShell, but you have the option, you've got 30 days then, you know, it's in like this recycle bin, so it's like a soft delete, and then if it's gone out of the recycle bin and you suddenly realize within the next 14 days you really do need that site back, just like we did with users, you can go in and contact Microsoft support and they'll recover that site for you. Hopefully not too many people will be doing that though. Right, so we've got our site collection properties. We can define our site collection owners. We can set our storage resources, and the resource usage and our storage resource usage as well. And again, bearing in mind that you, if it looks like you're going to exceed your quota, you can go and buy extra quota, either resources or storage resources from Microsoft. What happens is that there'll be if, for example, there's been an upgrade happening to SharePoint Online and your site is still using the old version, there's an upgrade process that you can also fire off from the user interface as well. Okay, so I think we've had a good look at that now. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit more about managing sites with PowerShell. So with the if you're managing sites with PowerShell, then what you need to do is you need to install the SharePoint Online Management Shell. Now, I think we're getting quite used to this idea that if you're going to, it's PowerShell is a basic command line interface. What we need to do is to add the modules, and those modules contain the additional commands that then execute against that particular service. So we're going to have to connect again, aren't we? So we've got to connect to the service.
Yes.
And then that's done through a redirect, which redirects us into our SharePoint Online service. So connect SPO service is the command. You're going to need to provide your credentials to do that, which will need to be SharePoint administrator credentials to connect. And then because we've added the SharePoint module, we've now got access to these various commands like a new SPO site, set SPO site, remove and restore. But, I mean, again, I'm not a SharePoint administrator. And I'm not a great PowerShell guru either. So probably a lot of the time I'm going to be operating in using the SharePoint Online console to do that, to create SharePoint sites. But there is that facility, and it does allow you to make bulk changes to multiple sites.
Yeah, so typically the things that you want to do, that you want to document, so if you want to document the steps you took to implement a new site or change a property and you want to script that out and use it again for another site, that's a great reason to use SharePoint or
That's a very, very good point indeed. And of course, you can use the SharePoint IDE environment for configuring your PowerShell commands as well. Right, so our public website. Now, we did sort of point to that. So SharePoint Online provides you with a public website. And I would say it's most organizations, they've probably got their own public website already, haven't they? So, in many cases, what's that going to offer to an organization that already hosts their public website elsewhere?
Well, so you can use this public website for other things because it's now sort of an anonymous website that people can go and connect to and look at any data that you want to share with the public out there, like, for example, documents. Maybe you want to share other things with external people, but it's a nice anonymous website.
Okay, so external user sharing, there's an option there. So it isn't necessarily you're going to replace your public marketing website. This might be another way that you can use to connect with anonymous users. I mean, as we know them, customers. Mm. So it's a great way of reaching out beyond the boundaries of the organization and providing a secure way to interact with, say, customers who might be anonymous users. To do that, there is a process you need to go through. First of all, you need to set up the SharePoint, your custom domain for the SharePoint Online purpose. And you can't do that at the same time as trying to configure a domain for Exchange Online or for Link Online. You have to then go, once you've configured it for Exchange and Link Online, you then have to go through and run the wizard again for the custom domain and point it to your custom domain value. You also need to put settings in DNS as well. So you'll create a www value in DNS and then associate that www.yourdomainname.com or whatever to your SharePoint site. Once you've done that, you've created those settings, then you can then publish that site out. You can also configure it. You can apply the same templates. Or if you really want to, you could get hold of SharePoint Designer, download that from Office 365, and then sort of tweak around with your site to your heart's content. And there you have it. So public website, I say, even if you have got a public website in existence, it can be a useful feature. Some common errors and best practices then. As with all security models, granting too many permissions or not granting enough, you know, make sure that you've got the right security groups in place, that you define groups in SharePoint and groups in Office 365 and assign those correctly. Office 365 groups then go into SharePoint groups and grant the permissions to the SharePoint group. If your quotas are too high, or if the quotas are too high, then you're wasting resources that aren't available to the rest of the organisation. If they're too low, then you're going to find that your sites are bombing out because they're consuming too many resources. So you need to make sure that just like the Goldilocks, not too much, not too little, just right. Plan out your domain collections, plan out your site collections, plan out your URLs, and again, document all of that information. So best practices, keep everything simple, make sure that you've got a documented structure, that you've got a hierarchy that meets the organisational's business needs, and that you've created the correct site types to enable your organisation to work more effectively, because that's ultimately what the investment in SharePoint Online is all about. And particularly if you are concerned about that, then there's lots of SharePoint Online, Microsoft partners, Gold partners, etc. available who can work with you to help define your business processes and make sure those processes are reflected accurately within SharePoint. Right, so let's move on then to talk a little bit more about external user sharing. Now, this again is one of the really useful features in SharePoint Online, and I think really we'll probably pretty well do this after we've talked about a bit about planning. We'll just do this as a demo. Mm-hmm. So in planning your external user sharing, what you need to think about is what information do I need to share with external users and do I require them to authenticate before they can access that information. So you might think, well, of course I want them to authenticate. I really don't want anonymous users. But then again, you might want anonymous users to be able to connect. You might not want people to require to go through the process of signing up for an Office 365 for some sort of Microsoft account or organizational account. You may actually want those external users to access your information. Typically, when you're designing this, the external user sharing is something you set up at the SharePoint overall SharePoint Online level for the tenant. You also then set it up at the site level, and then you can also set it up at the document level as well. So there are various levels of sharing of information with external users. The only difference is that with anonymous user access, you can't give them the right to access a site anonymously. They only have the right to access individual documents. So at the document level is the only one that works with anonymous access. So think about what you're going to share. Think about what permissions you want to give. So there's things like you can have edit permissions or read-only permissions, as we might expect, and then understand what those users can and can't do when accessing an external document. So to enable it, I've talked about enabling it at the site level and at the site collection level as well, and then, again, selecting a particular document and sharing that document. So we've got these authenticated options. We've got these anonymous options. Martin, let's show us what we've got.
Okay, so in the SharePoint Admin Center, we by default go to the site collection site. But the first thing that you have to enable is you have to go and change your settings on the tenant level to allow that to go out to the users or to allow the external share.
And how long does that change typically take?
It can take a few minutes if you want to, but it's something that doesn't take too long.
Yeah. And again, the default setting is to allow.
Yeah. So my tenant here was actually set to don't allow any outside sharing, and I enabled allow external sharing to accept invitations and sign in as authenticated users, or I can allow external users to accept sharing invitations and anonymous guest links if I want to.
Okay, so we've got that differentiation between there.
Yeah. So once you've set that and you save your settings, then you have to go to your site collection. And if you select your site collection, you can go to sharing. And then on that sharing, you can also then allow users to do the same thing. You can allow site collections to accept sharing invitations and authenticate as authenticated users or as anonymous links as well.
Right. So at the moment, you've got a warning message there, sharing links is disabled in tenant settings. So that means I can't do, that's telling me, just reminding me that I can't do anonymous guest links.
Yes.
At the moment. And remember that those guest links are links to individual documents. It's not the site level. At the moment, we can share at the site level.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all shared at that level as well. And again, that can take a little while to take place as well.
That
okay.
can take a few minutes as well. Okay, and then so I have the site open here, so I can give Anthony Outlook.com email address access to the site so that he can maybe upload documents for me or something like that.
Okay, so you're sending this to me as an authenticated user.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to authenticate in some way, so I can authenticate to... That could be my Microsoft Live ID, or that could be, in fact, an Office 365 ID if
yes.
I'm part of an organization that is also on Office 365 and you're sending your my Office 365 address there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can give me a little personal message just so I understand what on earth I'm doing with it, with this document. Great. And what permissions are you giving me for this?
So if I show some options, I can actually change the permission level. So I can give you read access, or I can give you full control, or I can just give you view only and Excel services viewers.
Okay.
So I think edit permissions will work, yeah.
But you can't make me an administrator as an external user, can you?
No.
No, okay. Right, so that's gone off to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was quick that time.
Yeah.
Right, so I've now got an email address. I've got an email. Heidi Leitner has invited me to pub. You know, you don't quite look like Heidi. But
I try.
So I've now got this... it's giving me some interesting... it's also tied into my to some of the security on Outlook.com as well. Yeah. Right, so I've now got a message saying that I've got a link to pub. So I can go to my pub email there, and it's actually... prompting me, it's blocked by safety. It's concerned about my safety. Isn't that sweet?
Mm.
So I can unblock that, and I'm going to allow that option. So here we go. And go on, maybe I've got to always allow for this site. I really, really do want to go to it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's prompting me for my organizational account, but actually, of course, I'm going to log in with my Outlook.com address, aren't I?
Yes.
So in I go at Outlook.com. So it now takes me to my sign-in page for that. And in fact, I'm already authenticated because I was authenticated on that link.
On that
page anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I can see the whole of that site. Great. Well, actually, I want to create a new document. So I'll create a new Word document. And OK that. And I can put some content in. Notice it's flashing straight into Word Upline. So if I was to open that in Word,
mm-hmm.
I'm not actually... it's going to fire up... Word on demand, isn't it? But it will then prompt me to log on to Office 365, and I don't have an Office 365 account, so therefore it's not going to actually play with me. But that option is available for people who are actually. So if I was with an organisation that had Office 365, and I was authorised to, if I had a licence for Office 365 Pro Plus, then I could use the Word Online option there as well.
Yeah.
Or sorry, the open in Word option.
Yeah.
So here is some text. In that goes. And of course that's saved automatically, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep, saved automatically. So back I go. And there's my new document. So let's flick across to your screen there.
Okay, and yeah, I have my share and I just need to refresh. And there's your document. So.
And as modified by me, as an external user, isn't it? So you can now go in there and edit that document as well. So there we have instant collaboration with external users. And so that's such a powerful and useful technique there. And yet we are still providing a level of security. We are still authenticating that user, making sure that they do have credentials to log on before they can actually access our site.
Yeah, something like this would take weeks in an enterprise organization because you have to open up the SharePoint sites, make them available to the internet and so on. And if you haven't planned for that, then it's going to take you a long while to set up all the firewalls and so on to do this. But because the service is already there and we're providing it securely to everybody in the whole world, then it becomes really easy to share.
Indeed. And there's also a difference between inviting external users into SharePoint Online and inviting them actually into your own network.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you for that. So in terms of removing our external user sharing, again, that's fairly simple. We can either remove our permissions either at the tenant level or at the site level or for individual documents as well. We can stop sharing individual documents and disable guest links. Mm-hmm. So fairly simple process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. So some common errors then, really, again, oversharing. I mean, how often have we heard that one? So we really mustn't share more content that's actually required. Again, don't think about at the various levels. Think about at the tenant level. Think about at the site level, making sure that you haven't got conflicts between the sharing at the site and the tenant level. And also making sure that at the individual, if you're sharing anonymous links, then you're going to be sharing individual documents and making sure that you're assigning the correct permissions for anonymous users to be able to access those. Do document all of this process because it's very easy to forget that you might have shared a document and that you've sent out anonymous guest lists. So good planning will help avoid any issues with this. Think about having a site that's just for external users so that you know that all your external user access is configured within one site collection. Least privilege principles goes without saying, really. Make sure that external users can only have the rights to the document that they need. For example, if they only need to see it, that's all that they can do, rather than just being able to edit as well. And then if you've got any sort of confidential documents or anything like that, don't use anonymous guest lists. They need to be authenticated. Right, so we're just going to finish off by talking about Yammer integration here. Yammer is, say, our enterprise-class social network. It's now been fully integrated by Microsoft into Office 365, but the management side you actually do through yammer.com. So this isn't about getting the freebie personal Yammer account. This is about having an enterprise Yammer account with Office 365. So, I mean, in terms of what we do in Office 365, it's very simple, isn't it? Do you just want to quickly show us where that Yammer setting is in SharePoint? So if we go into the SharePoint, all we do is we just switch it on in SharePoint. And then what will happen is that it will go. So if you go into SharePoint Online there, and we can see there that we're using the yammer.com service.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice up the top there, can you see we've got in Heidi's account, we've got a Yammer window. So if you click on that, again, that will bring up her Yammer window. But unfortunately, because the organization that Heidi is actually in, nobody's really chatting on Yammer very much, so there isn't an awful lot going on. But that allows, so there's her site. She can upload her photos. She can talk about herself and sort of chat to various people about what's going on with her particular projects and create groups and so on. Great sort of feature there for enabling social networking within an organization. You can still use the existing SharePoint newsfeed if you want to do that. But Yammer is available as being the new newsfeed that you can use instead of the existing SharePoint one. Mm. Right. So co-authoring then. Co-authoring is a great feature that allows teams of authors, teams of writers to work simultaneously, they can be around the world, and this is particularly useful for us at Content Master, is that we can have teams of authors working around the world on documents. The documents themselves are hosted up on SharePoint Online. When you open a document and edit it, you can then edit, and all the edits from multiple users working with the same document simultaneously are all gathered together. There is a versioning system. You can either have major versioning numbers, i.e. 1.0, 2.0, 3.0 or so on, or minor versioning where you can have 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. Again, that will tie into how your organization typically edits documents. We've also got you need to check the document out to do that, but effectively it's like a sort of multiple checkout process, and then say users can go in and access those documents. There are some differences between the different clients as to the support that different clients be different for different file types. So, for example, Word, you can co-author in. You can co-author in Word, you can co-author in Word Online, whereas SharePoint, you can only co-author SharePoint in... Sorry, you can only co-author an Excel spreadsheet in Excel Online. You can't co-author in Excel 2013. If someone opens the file in Excel 2013, then it knocks off all the other external users. So the whole team have to be using it. But PowerPoint and also Notes, OneNote as well. You can do co-authoring on those with both the full client and with the online version as well. Right, OneDrive for Business then. A fairly recent rename. You may have heard this before as SkyDrive Pro. It's not the same as OneDrive, the consumer version. What it is, it's a bit like offline files, and it's a bit like Briefcase. Do you remember Briefcase?
Yes. Yeah,
it's got elements of that, and it's a way of taking your files and making those files available offline. Yeah. It used to be, it was 25 gig.
Yeah, it actually used to be 7 gigs, and we recently upgraded that to 25 gigs.
To 25 gigs, but we've got some more upgrade options, haven't we? Just want to quickly show us those.
In our SharePoint Admin Center, we can go and change some of these settings. Right underneath Site Collections, we have OneDrive for Business. If we click on that, we can go and change the limit for what we want to give users. So
if we would like to put Heidi's email address in there, isn't it? Because that's how it works on for choosing the user.
Let's see if I still have No, I don't.
No, so basically what we do is you enter the email addresses, and then that attempts to resolve that to usernames. Right, so do you think we can assign Heidi... Oh, look, a terabyte.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be a bit too excessive.
Right, because if you look on the top right there, we've only got 25.38 gigs. Do you think we could get her up to 50 gigs?
Yeah.
We try that. And try and save that, and let's see if that will do it. Yes, but now we can see that we've only got 394 megs of resources left, okay, because Heidi's OneDrive for Business has consumed all the rest of our resources. Mm. So you need to understand that. It's important to understand that these are a shared resource between SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. It is actually a feature. It ties into OneDrive ties into SharePoint Online. It's almost like a sort of type of personal site, but it enables you to synchronize files and make them available online, and also to share those files with other users. So a user can share their own files with somebody else instead of attaching them to emails, which of course is what they tend to do, and then clogging up creating these vast mailboxes, or even getting non-delivery messages because the emails are too large. Okay, and that upgrade there to a terabyte, as long as you've got enough quota, that's a very recent update, isn't it? That's only came out last week.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about working with Office 365. There's always something going on with it. There's always some sort of service of change and improvement. It makes our job quite interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will change next week again.
It probably will. Something else will change as well. So to finish off our module then, we've looked at how we can manage our external SharePoint sites. We've talked about the process of configuring external user sharing. And we've also talked about planning. And there is a lot of planning that you need to do in terms of planning your collaboration solution involving your public sites, involving OneDrive for Business, and involving, external user sharing. In our next module, what we're going to be looking on is quite a short module on Link Online and the settings that you configure for that service.